Welcome to our Wednesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing to teach about knowing God. This is a brand new series that I started this week. This is a brand new teaching that I have out. Of course, I've talked about this subject, in parts. I've mentioned it in many different things because I believe that this is a core value. But recently, one of our Gospel Truth seminars, I just taught the entire seminar about the importance of knowing God and then how can you know God. And I tell you, I think it's really important. So this week, I've started just emphasizing how important it is to know God. Most people go for what God can produce in their life, but they don't know God personally. You know, in a sense, that's like a child going to a parent and asking them to feed them and to clothe them and can I use the car and can I do this? And they want everything that the parent can provide for them, but they don't want any relationship with the parent. They don't want to spend any time with the parent. They are critical. They have a bad attitude. And of course, I know that many of you know by experience what I'm talking about a child that just takes advantage of what you can do for them, but then they don't have a relationship with you. And even though the parent wants to provide all of these things for the kid, that's not a problem. The parent really desires relationship with that child, and then all of these things that a parent can produce are kind of a byproduct of a relationship. And actually, if kids understood this properly, it seems like most people don't understand this until they become a parent and start looking at it from the other perspective. But if kids understood this properly, if you would just invest some time in your parents and in relationship and build that relationship and have a love relationship with your parent, I guarantee you everything that that parent has is yours once you get their heart. And the Lord used this exact same logic. And here's a verse in Luke chapter 11. It says, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he shall ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? The Lord was basically using the same logic, saying, here's the way that a parent meets the need of their child, and our Heavenly Father, even more so, longs to meet our personal needs. But in the same way that parents just, I've had this happen to me, I'm sure that many of you have, where your child wants everything you can provide for them and nearly comes at it as, you owe this to me, this is my right, you've got to do this. And yet they don't even say thank you. They don't respond and do things. And I tell you what, even though a parent may go ahead and meet the need of that child because they do love them and want to provide for them, the parent really is longing to get a little bit of feedback, like just a thank you every once in a while, a little bit of a relationship. And I'm telling you that this is the way that God is. I really believe that I'm speaking for the Lord and representing His heart that yes, God loves you and wants to heal your body and prosper you financially and establish relationships and help you with your emotions and do all of these things that we are in need of. Yes, God wants to minister to you. But you know what? God wants you more than He wants to just meet these needs and see these things happen. He wants relationship with you. You know, when I married my wife, I remember when I proposed to her, I said, Jamie, I'd like you to share the rest of my life with me. And that's the reason that I asked Jamie to marry me is because I loved her and I wanted her to share my life. And for everything that God was going to do in my life, I wanted her to go through it with me and I wanted her to be a part of it. And that's the reason I desired to marry Jamie was for a relationship with her. Now, you know what? The fact that she cleans the house and cooks and washes clothes, and I mean, she fixes our house. We just had a bunch of people out to our house yesterday, and you know what? Everybody was talking about the way that she has everything arranged. I mean, Jamie's a blessing. If I lived in my house, you know, it'd be similar to a bunker that I built when I was in Vietnam. It wouldn't be very fancy. It wouldn't have all these little things that she has. I mean, I love the stuff that Jamie does, and those things enhance our home, make it more of a home, makes it better, the fact that she keeps a clean house and does all that. And so those things are a blessing to me, but that's not why I married her. You know, if all I wanted was a clean house and clothes washed and food cooked, you could hire somebody to do those kind of things, but it wouldn't be the same because I wouldn't have a relationship with just a maid that comes in and works in the home. I married Jamie for the relationship. And the fact that she does these other things enhances it, and it's a blessing, and it adds to it, but that is not the purpose. God did not save you just so that He could get somebody to work for Him, just so that He could have somebody to go out and lay hands on the sick and preach the gospel and do these things. So much of Christianity is emphasizing our duty and our responsibility, and we need to do this. And yes, again, those things enhance it, and I believe that the Lord does want us to be a witness and to share our faith. But the Lord wants you more than He wants what you can do for Him. And the Lord would like to have you love Him for who He is more than what He can just do for you. Now again, I'm not saying that God doesn't want to meet physical needs and minister to us in these emotional, physical, tangible ways, but I'm saying that the Lord wants relationship with you. And if we would put that as our focus, everything in your life would just radically change. Let me share these verses with you out of Philippians chapter 3. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. And this, he wrote this book of Philippians from prison, so this is well after he had been serving God for decades. And so this isn't like a novice just saying that he wanted to know God. This is a man who knew God already, and yet here he is expressing that he could know God more. You know, when I give the title of this series talking about knowing God, I'm sure that there's some people who just thought, oh, I know God, and so they want to move on to something else. You know, if you truly know God, the more you know about God, the more you want to know about God. If anybody thinks, oh, I know God, that's no problem with me, well, then you don't really know God. Because the more you understand about Him, the more you understand there is to understand about Him. And this is what the Apostle Paul was saying. After decades of serving God, here he is talking about his desire to know God. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 3, he says, "For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh." If you were watching my program on Monday, I read Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 24, and in those verses it was saying, don't let the man who's wise glory in his wisdom, don't let the mighty man glory in his might, don't let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glory in this, that he understands and knows me. This is basically what the Apostle Paul is saying. The Apostle Paul is saying he didn't have any confidence in the flesh. He didn't put any importance on the flesh. His physical accomplishments, who he was in his natural self, was not important to him. And he goes on, and I'm working through this, but if you jumped on down, he talks about that his whole thing is just about knowing God. So this is the background of what he's saying. In verse 4 he says, "Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more." Now I think that this is an important point to make. The reason that the Apostle Paul was saying he didn't have any confidence in the flesh wasn't because he was a loser, and therefore he had nowhere else to go but to God. You know, the Apostle Paul was one of the most accomplished men of his day. He had doctor's degree after doctor's degree after doctor's degree. He was trained by the very best. He was raised at the feet of Gamaliel, the number one teacher in the nation of Israel. He was being groomed to be one of the most powerful, mighty men in the Jewish religion in the entire nation. Paul had everything going for him. He came from a family that was wealthy. He came from a family that was Jew, but at the same time also Roman, which gave him an advantage over most people. He had all the advantages of Roman citizenship. I mean, Paul was an elite. He was an intellectual. He was in the society class. Paul had everything going for him, and yet he didn't esteem any of those things important. Now, I think that that's noteworthy. Because there's some people that come to God because they've just been a total failure in everything else. You know, in a sense, that's the way that I am. I never excelled at anything. I was just always average and mediocre. I don't have any special talents and abilities, things like that. And so I'm not critical of people because I'm saying that that's kind of where I came from. When the Lord touched my life, I had nothing else that was occupying my attention. I didn't have to surrender a lot because I had no purpose, no direction for my life. I was seeking direction when the Lord touched me. So I'm not critical of people like that, but I'm saying that some people come to the Lord because really they have no other options. Paul had lots of options. He had everything going for him. And yet here's a man who had what many of you watching this program are seeking for, thinking if you could just get the attention of people, if you could just have the riches, if you could just have the education, if you could just have something else, then you would be satisfied. Here's a man who had all of this, and he says he gave it all up for the excellency of knowing Jesus. Boy, I think that that's powerful. So he begins to list what some of his accomplishments were. In verse 5, he says, circumcised the eighth day, which of course as a Jew, this is an absolute necessity for the male to be circumcised on the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. Benjamin was one of the select or one of the elite tribes in Israel, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. As touching the law, a Pharisee, the Pharisees were the strictest, the most fundamental of all the religious sects. In verse 6, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. He didn't say sinless, he said blameless. Didn't mean he never did anything wrong, but as Paul later said, he did everything in a good conscience. In verse 7, it says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Boy, what an insight into the heart of the Apostle Paul. And let me just point out that, brothers and sisters, this is totally different than most of us. And this is the reason that the Apostle Paul had the results that were totally different than most of us. I mean, Paul walked into a place and the people cried out, the men who have turned the world upside down have come here also. He was having an impact on the entire world, recognized in his day. His life was making a difference. You know why Paul was getting that results is because of this value system that he's establishing and relating right here. You know why most of us aren't having an impact even on our families or even on our workplace in our small realm of influence? Most of us aren't having an impact that Paul had on the entire world. It's because we do count all of these other things so important. We are putting the emphasis on all of these things contrary to what the Apostle Paul did. The Apostle Paul says that he counted all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. He didn't say, I'm counting everything that I had to give up being a Pharisee, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, and next in line to succeed and be a Pharisee of the Pharisees, and all of these religious opportunities that were open to him. He didn't say that he counted those things lost so that he could now be the head of the church and that he could have so many churches under him. All of the other things, see, that ministers today might point to and say, well, man, I'm on television and I'm influencing this and I've got this many churches and I have this large of a ministry and I have all of this amount of finances. See, Paul wasn't saying that it was about these external things. He says he counted everything but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. He counted knowing God more important than any physical thing. And he goes on to say in this same verse, he says, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. You know, Paul at one time was the one that when he walked into a room, all the Pharisees would acknowledge him because he was progressing in the Jewish religion above everybody else that was his equal. He used to get recognition. He used to get attention. I'm sure there was all kinds of perks that went with that. And he says, but I've suffered all the loss of all of this. He now was ridiculed. He was persecuted. Paul was put in prison. more than probably anybody else. I mean, when Paul went into a town, the first thing he'd do, instead of going and looking at the Holiday Inn or the Marriott or the Hilton, he would stop by the prison and say, "If you got a place, save me a spot. I know I'll be here before my time's up." I mean, Paul was being persecuted, and he says he counts all of those things as nothing for the excellency of knowing Christ. How many of us could truthfully say that? How many of us could truthfully say that, you know, when somebody persecutes us or something, "Oh, it's nothing because I know God. God knows me. I have relationship with God, and that's able to sustain me." I have people come to me all the time who are born again, even baptized in the Holy Spirit, speak in tongues, operate in the power of the Holy Spirit, and yet somebody has said something about them. They're going through a divorce. They didn't get the promotion. They were rejected, passed over at their job or something, and because of it, they just fall apart like a $2 suitcase, and they are having all of these trials and tribulations, and they're wanting me to pray for them. And I tell you, that's inconsistent. If you know God, then the rejection of any of these people, whatever persecution, whatever problems you're going through, are insignificant in comparison. And some of you think, "Well, that's not the way that I see it." Well, that's the problem. Amen. Here's the reason that the Apostle Paul was able to rejoice and say over in 2 Corinthians that his light affliction was just for a moment. It was because he knew God, and because knowing God was more important than anything else. And he says, "I count all of these other things that I've suffered, the loss of all these things, I count them but dung, that I may know Christ." Manure. You know, I was teaching on this in my Bible school one day, and one of the ranchers, I was talking about how that knowing Jesus is better than anything else, and yet we put all of our degrees that we have earned on the wall, and we frame them, and we glory in those things. Paul was saying he counted all of his knowledge and all of his degrees and all of his successes like manure. I said he counted his stuff manure. Instead, what we do is frame our manure and put it on the wall and brag about it. And I hope you understand there's a place for all these things, but I'm saying in a relative sense, you ought to count all of your accomplishments, all of your education, all of your achievements as manure. And I was teaching on that in the Bible school, and so the next day a person came and they took a cow patty, an old dried out cow patty, and put it on a cardboard thing and framed it, and then wrote some stuff under it about, I count all things but dung for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. And it made quite a statement. It really did. Of course, Jamie didn't like that. She eventually threw it away one day when I was looking the other direction. But it really made a statement that instead of hanging all of his accomplishments on the wall and boasting in what he had done, Paul said, "I count everything like that manure in comparison." That's a strong statement. And yet this is the point that I'm trying to get across. We need to elevate knowing God, having relationship with God, above riches, above the acclaim of man, above fame, above accomplishments, above anything else. And there's very few people that have that kind of a value system. And because of it, that's the reason that they're up and down like a yo-yo, and they're in and out, and they have these highs and lows. It's because their value, their faith is in these temporary things, and fame and recognition changes. I guarantee you, if you are going to feel good because everybody loves you today, and so therefore you're praising God, and it's just wonderful because everybody's singing your praises, I guarantee you are excited about the wrong thing. Because there will be a time that people will criticize you, that people will speak against you. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, "All those who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." If you aren't being persecuted, it's because you're ungodly. If you are truly a godly person, there will be resistance. There will be people who come out against you. And so if you are going to just praise God because everything in the world is wonderful, everybody loves you, your husband, your wife, your children are all in love with you, and you're getting recognition at work, and everything in your life is just going great, and if that's the reason that you're happy, I can guarantee you, you're going to be sad someday soon. Because there will be times that people turn against you, and there's going to be problems. We live in a fallen world, and things happen. But when you reach this place that the Apostle Paul was talking about, that he counted everything else relatively like dung compared to knowing God, well, then the Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never fluctuates. His love for us is never changing. And if you are focused on His love for you, then it can give you a stability so that if everybody is praising you, well, that's just wonderful, but really that doesn't affect you one way or the other because your hope is in God. If everybody is criticizing you, it's not going to affect you because your hope is in God. God still loves you. God is the same. And if you are in Christ, you will be the same. But when we get into all of these other things, when we start praising God and taking tremendous encouragement because your career is just great, because your marriage is wonderful, because, man, all of the finances are coming in, because everything external is good. When that's where your joy is, then you are going to have very little joy, and it's going to be temporary at the very best. But when your value is like the Apostle Paul right here, that everything else in comparison to knowing Jesus is done. And you put such an importance on knowing God. When that's your attitude, then you know what? Everything else becomes relatively insignificant. I've had people come up to me before, spit in my face, do all kinds of things, insult me. I've had a lot of criticism or rejection, and I can truthfully say it doesn't bother me. I can truthfully say I'm not mad at anybody. I'm not holding any unforgiveness. I've had people ask, how can you do that? Because you know what? Knowing God is the focus of my life. I'm not saying I'm perfect at it, but I can truthfully say that that is the focus of my life. And the fact that I know that God loves me, if a person comes up and spits in my face, what does that matter? God Almighty, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, He carries my picture in His wallet. God has an 8x10 of me hanging on His mantle in heaven. God loves me, and if God loves me, what does it matter if a person doesn't love me? I tell you, it gives you a totally different perspective. It just enables you to respond to the pressures and the problems that go on in this life totally different than a person who is codependent upon the approval of all of these people. I tell you what, if God is the only person you're leaning on, He'll never let you down. The only people that'll ever let you down are the ones that you lean on. So you know what? You need to make God the focus of your life. Knowing God needs to be your heart cry. And that's what this series that I'm beginning is talking about, is about how important knowing God is, and then we're going to be talking about how is it that you really come to know God. I tell you, this could help you, could make a huge difference in your life.